Exploring and Applying the Parables, Parva Press. Parables of the Faithful Servant. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 32 to 48, English Standard Version. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Stay dressed for action, and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will dress himself for service, and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would have not left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? And the Lord said, Who then is the faithful and wise manager, whom his master will set over his household, to give him their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant, whom his master will find so doing, when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, My master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour that he does not know, and will cut him in pieces, and put him with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will, but did not get ready, or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know, and did what deserved a beating, will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required, and from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. The Holy Bible, English Standard Version, copyright 2001 by Crossway Bibles, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers, used by permission, all rights reserved. The Parables of the Faithful Servant, Parva Press. The Gospel Setting of this Pair of Parables. By these pictures of servants awaiting the certain yet sudden and unannounced return of their master, the disciples were shown how they should be living. The Lord Jesus had just spoken of the danger of getting our priorities totally wrong by setting our hearts on this world's pleasures and possessions, and forgetting the fact that our very breath and all our circumstances are in the hand of Almighty God. By and large, rich men find that they never have enough. They always strive for more. Poor men, of course, find that they never have enough. But middle-income men also find they never have enough. For this reason, the Lord Jesus taught his disciples not to make the things of this life, food, drink, clothing, houses, and the like, the heart and centre of their existence. Live lightly to this world's treasures. Sell your possessions. Share their value with those in need. Use them for the kingdom. He's not saying that we should become dependent paupers, scrounging off other people's goodness. Rather, he is saying, do not grasp to yourself and hoard that which could be used to help those in real need, or that which could be used to bring honour to his name. Better by far to use our wealth for the King and his glory. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is the setting of the parables, describing how disciples then and now should be living. Disciples are pilgrims. In parables like these, says John Calvin, he has given us clear light, information, a map, and compass. The parables themselves. The point of these parables is the challenge to live like faithful servants, dressed for work, with lamps burning, and at all times ready for the return of their master. The master or lord of a great house will be returning from a wedding feast. Maybe not until the early hours of the morning. His return is certain, yet sudden and unannounced. If the returning master finds the servants awake, ready, and about his business, he will reward and honour them. The reward will be beyond this world's wildest dreams. He, the master, will sit them down and serve them, mere servants, faithfully doing their duty. Here is an amazing picture for the encouragement of disciples. To drive home the need for constant preparedness, the Lord compares the master's return with the sudden and unannounced visit of a thief. The parable was addressed first to the disciples and to the crowd who had gathered to listen. For today's disciples, who would learn how to live, it still holds true. Here in this parable is the clear and unmistakable challenge from the Lord's own lips to spend our time, our effort, our prayers, our skills and possessions to bring honour to his name. Here is the all-embracing challenge to live in the light of his return. To live for him, die for him, to devote everything to his cause. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. It is coupled with a very strongly encouraging picture of those who are actually found doing so, being very greatly honoured by their Lord and Master. Here is the first parable of the pair, a most serious call to live in this world for the Lord God, for the kingdom of heaven, in the light of the return of the King, the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ. A parable for the Lord's disciples, or for us all. The second parable follows a question asked by Peter. Lord, are you telling this parable for us, or for all? The Lord Jesus answers that question with another question. Continuing the same picture of the returning master, he speaks of a faithful managing servant, and asks, who is that faithful servant whom the Lord will find so doing? This second parable applied in the first instance to the disciples themselves, who were to become his witnesses and the apostles and pillars of the early church. It was a solemn call to faithfulness. It was as if he had said, as it applies to all, how much more it applies to you and these fellow disciples around you, Peter. If the whole household is to watch, how much more the principal servants must lead the way by encouragement, exhortation, and example. The picture here is of a servant set over the household to look after his fellow servants and to administer all its affairs. In dealing with his fellow servants, there will be a need to arrange for the supply of all their needs. He will need to give clear instructions and directions. Sometimes there will be a need to challenge or correct, and in other circumstances a need to gently support, encourage, and restore one or another of them. Here is the pattern set by our Lord himself throughout his earthly ministry. Although this was clearly addressed to the disciples, it echoes down the centuries to each one of us in whatever situation of authority the Lord has put us. Mothers and fathers, with the responsibility of rearing godly youngsters, Bible class leaders, Sunday school and youth leaders, ministers and church leaders. J.C. Ryle makes clear that it would also include those servants of the Lord placed in positions of responsibility and authority in society. Here is a solemn call to faithfulness in leadership, a call to be a faithful servant of the Lord in whatever situation the Lord has put us. Paul the Apostle clearly understood this as he describes himself as a willing slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything else, his birthright, status, attainments, being dung in comparison to knowing and serving his master. Ryle draws attention to the expression, finds his servant so doing, not just knowing what we should be doing as servants, nor discussing it, nor intending to do it, but actually and actively doing it.